and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
I will worship. I will worship. I wonder, what do you think of when you hear the word worship? If you've been in church a little while, you may think that worship is just the songs we sing before the preacher gets up to speak. It may be a word that you only associate with religion. But what is worship? Well, worship means to admire, to celebrate, and to love something very much. True worship comes from your heart. Now, you may say, Luke, I don't worship anything. But if I checked your schedule, looked at your phone, asked your friends and family what you spend your money on, my findings may tell me something else. Now, if you were to spend a week with me, aside from figuring out that I love my wife and my little girl very much, you would also quickly come to understand that I have a deep love for the greatest English Premier League football team in the country. Watford FC. Oh, come on, there's no need for the laughter. I know we're bottom of the league right now, but that's only because we're a strong team. We're having to hold everyone else up. But I follow all their news. I know all the players' names. I go to the stadium, and on some days, you may even catch me singing and dancing. I wouldn't say I worship them, but if you ask my wife, she may tell you something different. We can all worship things without even realizing. And perhaps you're like me and it is your favorite football team. Maybe it's your favorite band. Perhaps you have a secret crush on that actress, or you deeply admire that. There's a few nervous laughs at that moment. Or you admire that actor. But let's get real for a moment. Maybe money is what you worship. Your career could be what you worship. Do you idolize certain people? Are you obsessed with the pursuit of fame? Or perhaps you worship yourself, your body, your ministry, the material possessions you own, like the house you live in, or the car you drive, or the bike you ride. Maybe it's your shoe collection, or your games console. It could even be your social media accounts. What is it that you worship? Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those examples I have just mentioned, providing they have not taken the place of God in your heart. It is good to have hobbies, aspirations, dreams. It's good to work hard and invest your finances wisely and spend time with people that are smarter than you. Just make sure that God remains first place in your life. I know that following Jesus may not be the cool thing to do, and the rewards might not be as instantaneous as you would like, and it might not be a popular choice with your family and with your friends. But when you learn to seek God first, when you give Him all the glory you deserve, when you learn to worship God, the Bible says that everything else will be added unto you. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Meaning this, when you adore Him, when you honor Him, when you celebrate Him, when you devote your whole self to Him, God will show up in your life. Answers arrive when you worship. Healing happens when you worship. Powerful relationships are formed when you worship. Dreams are birthed in worship. Oh, I wonder, on this Christmas service today, are there any worshipers in Valley Church this morning? Three of you, that's great. Worship time isn't a wasted time. Worship is not something we do once or twice a week in church. Worship isn't about ticking off your checklist. It is a lifestyle, a habit, an attitude of the heart. It is who we are. And for some of you, this Christmas, you need to start changing what you worship. You have been looking at the wrong stuff for too long now, and there needs to be a shift in your focus, an adjustment to the way you think, a transformation in the area of your worship. The Bible encourages us to continually have His praise on our lips. Not because God needs your praise. God doesn't need your worship. The happiness of God's days is not defined by whether you worship Him or not. He is not sitting up in heaven looking at His watch, hoping any second now Pastor Dave is going to like his Facebook page, or Luke's going to comment on his Instagram account telling him how good he is. No, God knows how good He is. Scripture tells us that all creation worships God without your help. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." Psalm 96 tells us that the sea resounds and everything in it, that all the forests and all the trees, that they sing for joy. God doesn't need your worship. He wants your worship. He desires your worship. He wants your worship so that as you begin to press into Him and lift His name high, then God can begin to stir that what is unique to you and your life. He can release promises in your life through your worship. Oh, friend, if only you knew the power of your worship. My assignment this morning comes from the passage in Acts chapter 16 about two men, Paul and Silas, who these boys knew how to worship. But let me tell you what is going on in the story here. It talks about these two men, Paul and Silas, that one morning they get up and they go to the temple to pray. When they are on the way to the temple, they are confronted by a woman with an evil spirit. Now, Paul becomes so troubled with this woman that he casts this evil spirit out of her. Now the owner of this woman, you see, this woman had, her business was foretelling the future. And she had some owners, and they were very angry when Paul cast this evil spirit out of her. So they had, because their chances of making money was now gone, so they had Paul and Silas arrested, stripped, beaten, flogged, thrown into prison. I like this. This is good. And their feet, it says, chained to the wall. And I just want to read you what happens next in the rest of this story, starting in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly..." I always like a suddenly in the Bible. It means something good is about to happen. "Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought all the other prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Do not harm yourself. We are all still here.'" And we see that as the rest of the story goes on, this jailer and his entire family, as a result of the worship and faith of Paul and Silas, go on and give their life to Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to give you three reasons why this Christmas you need to be a worshiper. Three reasons why you need to be a worshiper. Number one, worship connects us to the presence of God. It connects you to the presence of God. Despite these guys doing the right thing by heading to the temple to pray, then setting a woman free from an evil spirit, they find themselves being beaten, black and blue, covered in blood, and thrown inside a maximum security jail, all because they were doing God's work. I mean, if anyone had the right to be angry at God, to feel like God had abandoned them, to be confused at the situation that they now found themselves in, it was Paul and Silas. I doubt they thought that praying in the morning would have landed them in prison in the evening. But instead of complaining to God, instead of saying, oh God, this is so unfair, why did this happen to me? The Bible says that they start to worship God, that they pray, they sing hymns, that there is a new song in their mouth. Why? Because they understood that when you worship God, it takes the eyes, your eyes off of yourself and onto God. Do you know this great band that were up here before I got up? They're not up here to give us a performance. They're not up here to entertain us. They are here to lead us in worship. So no matter what your week has looked like, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what your circumstances are, you can walk through these doors on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and lift your eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship magnifies God over your problems. Worship reminds us just how big, how loving, how forgiving, how powerful, how sovereign our God really is. Now, of course, it's easy to worship God when you're on the mountaintop. But the real test of faith is when you can worship God when you find yourself in a prison. When you can't see a way out of your problems. When there seems like there is no escape. When you don't know what God is doing in your life, that's when the real test of faith comes into play. And this is what Paul and Silas understood. And our friend, you may be right now, today, you may feel that you might not be in a physical prison, but you might be in an emotional prison or a spiritual prison, but you are trapped today, trapped in a place of pain. Your situation looks impossible to escape. The finances have dried up. That addiction won't break. Your business is in trouble. You don't know how you're going to move forward. Well, can I remind you about the Christmas story that when Jesus was born, he was born at night in a manger under a starry sky, meaning the light of the world made his introduction onto this planet surrounded by darkness. Why? So he could pierce your darkest night, so he could redeem you from your sins, so he could deliver you from the prison and the chains that you find yourself in, so that you can walk in freedom and live in victory. I'm just getting warmed up. This is why some of you need to start worshiping God again. For when you worship God, the atmosphere changes. Faith is renewed. Strength begins to rise. Hope in your heart is activated. Courage is ignited. Strongholds are loosened. Walls start coming down. The devil starts running when you open your mouth to worship him. Why? Because your worship is a weapon. It is a weapon. You don't need another strategy. You don't need another business associate. You don't need another dream. You need more of his presence. You need to start worshiping him again. For it's in that atmosphere where things begin to change. Some of you need to start praising your way out of your problems and worshiping your way out of your worries. My God is not lacking. He is not limited. He is waiting on your worship. For my God will always rescue a worshiper. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better start worshiping. Now turn to your second option and say, you better start worshiping too. Some of you are in trouble over dinner. You turned the wrong way first. The second reason why you need to be a worshiper, number two, is this, is that worship connects us to his presence, to his purpose. Worship connects us to his purpose. The Bible makes it clear that everyone was created to worship. I love that when Jesus was born, some wise men traveled a great distance. They pushed through obstacles, overcame various terrain. They followed a star in the sky, all to get to Jesus. Not even a dangerous or jealous king that was threatening to kill these guys could stop them. And the Bible says that when they found Jesus and when they entered into that stable, they bowed down before him and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, they knew the power of their worship. Psalm 100 says that we are to worship God with gladness, that it is he who made us and we are his. Psalm 95 says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, for those are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Do you know, the more you worship God, the more you get to know the heart of your Creator. And the more you understand his heart, the more you begin to experience his love. And the more you experience his love, the more you start to understand the plan and purpose for your life and why you are here on this planet. Paul and Silas had a revelation of this truth, that just because they were in prison did not mean they were imprisoned. That just because their bodies were chained up did not mean that their spirits were shackled. That just because everyone else inside of that dungeon, inside of that prison had lost hope, didn't mean that they had to lose hope in their Creator. They were worshipers, and they knew that if they continued to exalt his name and lift his name high, then God was going to come through and do something in their situation. That God was going to fight. He was going to fight for them. He was going to fight their battles for them. There's a man in the Old Testament who experienced this exact same thing. And his name was Jehoshaphat. And he was king over a place called Judah. And one day the Ammonites, Moabites, and the Meunites came to attack him and his people. They had a vast army, a huge army, and it was going to take a miracle for them, for Jehoshaphat to get his victory. And some of you know what that feels like today. You've got problems on your left. You've got disappointment on your right. You've got a mountain that stands before you, and you have no idea how you're going to get through it. Well, this is how Jehoshaphat felt. But the Bible says he went to God. He prayed and he asked God for a solution, for God to speak. And you know what God said? He said, I want you to appoint some people, gather up some men and go out on the front line and worship me. Worship me. Stand firm, lift your voices. You won't need any physical weapons, just an orchestra of worship, a chorus of songs, a united anthem, for your battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, there is something powerful about corporate worship. When men and women unite together to proclaim the goodness of God. And in the account of Paul and Silas, we see just that. It doesn't say that while Paul was worshiping, Silas was sleeping. It says that they were worshiping together. They encouraged each other to keep the faith, to keep smiling, to keep pressing on. I can just imagine them in this cold, grim, unpleasant prison cell, battered, blooded, and bruised, but talking to each other about their favorite worship songs. And Paul leans over to Silas and he says, hey, Silas, I know a good one that we should sing. And it goes like this. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And Silas goes, no, Paul, you've got it all wrong, mate. You've got it all wrong. I know this is the one we should sing. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Right, come on, sing it with me. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Thank goodness I'm not in the worship band, eh? No wonder the Bible says all the other prisoners were listening. All of them. All of them were listening. Why? Because all they have ever heard inside of that dungeon is the moaning and groaning of pain, the tears of regret, the thought that they are never going to escape this place. And now here are two men with an undeniable passion in their voice, an indescribable joy in their heart, a united spirit opening up and worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Paul and Silas weren't whispering their worship. They were not humming their hymns. They were praising the name of Jesus. They were boldly declaring the word of God that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you and me from our sins, that he would rise from the dead 3 days later. They were declaring boldly inside that place of pain, of discomfort, of disappointment, that Jesus was with them and that when Jesus is with them, there is always a way out. The Bible says, through their worship, everyone's chains came loose. Not some. Not just Paul and Silas. Everyone's. Everyone was set free through the worship of two people. That is why it is important that you come to church every week. While you plant yourself in the house of God, because there is something unique that takes place when we gather together and worship God. It reminds us that no matter what your background is, what your ethnicity is, how rich or poor you may be, we are all on the same side. We belong to one body that is made up of many parts, and your part counts. Your contribution matters. Your voice matters. Corporate worship does something in you that you cannot get on your own. It reminds us that something today, something this morning is about to happen in this place. For when two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, some of you are pleased you got out of bed this morning. You're going to get your blessing just by being here. How good does that sound? My third and final point. Is this helping you? Is this number three? Is that worship? Worship connects us to his power. It connects us to his presence. It connects us to his purpose. And it connects us to his power. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 says this. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Wow. Now that sounds like church. That sounds like a prayer meeting I want to be a part of. I need you to picture it for a moment. Here are these wounded men worshiping God with all their heart when suddenly the prison, it starts to shake and everyone's chains come loose. Wait a minute. Did you notice how precise God is? A violent earthquake where only the chains came loose? I personally have never experienced or been in a violent earthquake, but I have seen the destruction that they can cause on the TV. So how is it that the foundations can be shaken so strongly, but yet the walls do not cave in and the ceiling doesn't come down? Some of you will get that later. Just think. Just think if the God we knew was a clumsy God. And he said, hey, sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to bring the roof down on you today. You won't be getting out tonight. Or imagine if the God we served was an uncertain God. And he said, hey, Silas, I think I've managed to loosen one of your feet, but I'm not sure how to do the other one. No, no, no. The God we serve, the God I know, is a precise God. He is an accurate God. He is an exact God. Look at the beauty of creation, the precision of creation. Did you know that the earth is tilted at a perfect 23.4 degrees. This allows us to experience all the different seasons that we encounter throughout the year. Without that precise tilt, all of humanity would suffer. Did you know that we live the perfect distance from the sun? Any closer and we would all melt. Any further away and we would all freeze. Did you know that because the earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour, that we get gravity? Without gravity, we would all be floating around in space. I look at the birds of the sky, the animals of the land, the fish of the sea, how they eat, how they move, how they reproduce, from the eagle down to the sparrow, from the whale down to the goldfish, from the giraffe down to the ant. God is into details. And the same God that designed the complexities of the solar system and this planet is the same God who designed you and I. You are a unique piece of craftsmanship. There will never be another one of you. God took time to hand make you inside of your mother's womb. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't you dare. Don't you dare think that God has finished with you, that God has given up on you. God knows exactly who you are. He knows what doors to open in your life and what doors to close. God knows when to elevate you and when to hide you. God knows when it's time to show up, loosen those chains, and set you free. Why? Because His timing is perfect and His power is precise. Oh, is this helping you? If you don't believe me, I want to show you one more thing very quickly, and the rest of the band can come forward. The Bible says that this miracle happened at midnight. Midnight is the darkest point of the night. It is also a significant time on the clock, as it is the transition period from one day to the next. It is the moment in time when the date changes. It marks the end of one day and the beginning of another. When the clock strikes 12, a new day has arrived. It seemed like Paul and Silas' day was done. It appeared like God had forgotten about them. But when you learn to worship God when you cannot see God, when you can worship Him in your wilderness, when you can worship Him when those doors are not coming down, then God has a habit of showing up in your midnight hour. Don't you get caught up with life. Don't get bitter. Don't complain that things are unfair. Your prison isn't permanent. Where you are today is not where you've been designed to be for tomorrow. But you have to stop playing your part by worshiping Him again. Why? Because things happen when you worship. Heaven invades earth when you worship. God's power is released when you worship. Chains are broken when you worship. Doors open when you worship. Souls are saved when you worship. Mountains move when you worship. Dreams are birthed when you worship. You experience total freedom when you begin to worship. If you believe it, give Him a shout of praise right now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at Valley_Church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.